Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Food and travel, they go hand in hand. And chances are, if you're a fan of Heritage Radio Network, you love them both. Between April 10th and 24th, we have six incredible food and travel experiences up for auction at charitybuzz.com. Go on an underground food tour of New Orleans with a rocket scientist. Get your hands on VIP passes to Feast Portland, or enjoy a ranch-to-table experience in wine country. Four of the experiences include hotel stays at some of the most iconic properties across the country, including the newly reopened Hotel Claremont in Atlanta. Now's your chance to win the ultimate bourbon and beyond weekend in Lexington, or take in a Latin food tour of New York's outer boroughs. You'll eat, drink, explore, and relax, all while supporting Heritage Radio Network. Help us keep the lights on and the mics hot. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/auction and bid now.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that send.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hi, Souther.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Dude, it's like we're having brunch in here today.
It looks that way.
Literally, we have like, it's like how many glasses can we get dirty? Normally on the show, we don't really make the cocktail till about halfway through, but we're just getting started. We got too many drinks, man.
Jumped right in. That's great, though. That's great. I'll keep trying to remember to do this every week now that we have it. I guess I'll take some photos for the Speakeasy Podcast Instagram.
Oh, wait. Where is that at? What's it under?
Speakeasy Podcast.
Okay. You should check it out, people.
Yeah, man.
Give us a follower.
I'll take some pictures of this brunchy table.
Holler. Speaking of dinners, you went to the Hellfire Club?
I did. I know you're a member as well, and I know that we don't all get together all at once because it's too big a club to do that, but 20 of us went to Cote and had some Korean barbecue. Pretty fun.
Cool, man.
I feel like it's weirdly progressive and forward thinking, and at the same time, it's a little bit retro, right? It's a men's club. It's just 20 dudes.
It's like a beefsteak party, like the old school beefsteak party.
Right, right. Where we just like.
Well, but you would eat with your hands at a beefsteak party.
We're just drinking whiskey and wine and eating grilled meats that, you know, are right there on the table. But it's fun to network with these people.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like.
A bunch of.
It's everybody. There's cool photographers. Doron Gold is one of the guys who runs the thing with Damien and like there's a couple of bartenders there. It was me, Maxwell Britton, Will Elliott. There's lots of chefs involved in the thing. Mm-hmm. I was sitting next to the sous chef from EMP and the district chef for the BLT group, and I don't know, you just get to talk to some dudes who are successful in life and share some stories, and I don't know, it was fun.
Yeah. Hellfire Club.
Hellfire.
Yeah.
Which the name was totally stolen from The Simpsons. Right? The tontine that those guys are in? The Hellfire Tontine?
Yeah.
Do you remember that episode?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
What else is going on? You finished your book, right?
I finished the book yesterday, basically. Yeah, I turned in the final stuff. So now you think, oh, great, you can relax. No, now it's you got to sell the book.
The beginning of the end of the beginning of the
this
end
is,
of the beginning.
Yeah. This is the end where it begins. So now we have to focus on like how to market the book and get it out there to the people. Of course, I'll probably start talking about it more on the show, and also I'll start promoting. I've never promoted it once yet on any of my social channels or anything like that.
Yeah, it's called I'm Just Here for the Drinks.
I'm Just Here for the Drinks.
And it's who published it?
It's called Topics Media Lab, which is a subsidiary of Macmillan. So they've got a bit of muscle. Cool. We're printing a pretty heavy run on the first go.
You're doing pre-orders already, right?
Pre-orders on Amazon.com.
Y'all should check that out. Jesus.
Wow, that was loud.
How much money.
That was big money.
Sorry, it's not an exact science.
Foley is an art, not a science.
All right. Why don't you introduce our guest today?
Yeah, well, so we've got two strong female voices in our bartending community right here in the studio with us today, Natasha David and Lauren Corvo from Nightcap, which is a great bar right in my neighborhood. So welcome, ladies. Good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
So happy to be here.
I guess first we should maybe raise a glass and cheers real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you brought us one of the things you guys are really known for over there at Nightcap is doing some low ABV cocktails, and you've had this on the menu from day one, right?
Day one.
On draft.
On draft, yeah. So what are we drinking?
This is our bamboo, and then we've paired it with some chilled pear brandy.
Woo-hoo. So basically you just came in like with all the stuff that I freaking love. Like this, you're really playing to your audience here.
So this is awesome. Yeah, you got a low ABV cocktail, but then you brought us little airline minis of pear brandy on the side. The
cutest.
They are adorable. So cheers. What's been going on over at Nightcap? Let's talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
These things are hard to open.
What's been going on?
A lot.
What hasn't been going on?
I think you should begin at, maybe not all the way at the beginning, but you know, the beginning. Your partners over there with Alex Day and Dave Kaplan of Proprietors LLC, Death and Company, and Honeycutt, and a whole host of bars all over the place. So, but you had your place, and then there was an upheaval. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we were located at in a lovely little basement on the Lower East Side. Mm-hmm. Long story short, and I also don't like to badmouth people in public, but we were in a little bit of a funky situation with the people we were renting from. And to kind of condense a very dramatic few months, within 48 hours, we decided we had to get out of there and move.
I didn't realize it was that dramatic.
Mm-hmm. We had zero money.
That's usually the amount of money I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of got taken from us mysteriously. So we, in a sort of whole, what's the expression? Hail Mary?
Hail Mary.
Hail Mary move.
Literally.
Knew that the space at 151 was becoming available.
Because that was also in your group already, right?
It was,
and
yeah.
And the concept that was there was maybe ready to move on, and so
yeah.
It was pretty...
Yeah.
Well, that was a whole thing, because it had been 151 for a really long time, mm-hmm. and then it became acquired by your group, mm-hmm. which kind of like revamped it and kind of made it more of like a little bit more of like a cocktail vibe in the mm-hmm. basement. This is like an old
right. 151 was just a joint that you'd go.
I had so many.
151. I did so many silly things there.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot of good stories since we moved in.
The thing I remember the most about that place is that. The heater was like busted all the time, so it was really hot.
Well, that comes.
Oh, we're going to talk about that too?
That'll come.
It was always really hot in there, and you just go in there and you just get fucked up.
Yeah, man.
Because it'd be so hot, you'd just be dropping beers and shots like they were candy.
You know, like other things.
And then there was other candies to be
other
had.
Other kinds of candies.
Yes. Okay, so anyway, 151 gets acquired by the LLC proprietors. Mm-hmm. They revamped it, made it into more of a cocktail driven thing. But then it was just a few blocks down the street.
It was a few blocks down the street, and it seemed like this crazy idea, but also maybe a perfect opportunity. We packed up the entire bar within about 24 hours.
I saw you on that day. I saw you guys running, like, literally a Hail Mary. Like, they were walking and, like hand-trucking, like, booze down the street. And like
my little Honda did very well.
Natasha's husband, Jeremy, myself, and Natasha's dad taking trips he was down the street. Natasha was pregnant.
I was about to say, you were carrying extra baggage.
I was 6 months pregnant, something like that, yeah.
So we, within 24 hours, packed up the entire space and pretty secret.
So this was this clandestine? Was this across the middle of the night?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Amazing.
We like to keep things exciting.
We had a pretty raging party the night before on the DL.
To like eliminate some inventory so we wouldn't have to carry so much.
No, well,
we can't move our booze.
That's true,
And we had such beautiful stuff that we had to leave behind. So,
but you kept the owls.
The owls flew down the block with us.
They knew where to go.
So then we reopened at 151.
Ten
days later. And because we really had no money, the whole staff revamped the place. They came in and were painting and fixing furniture and light fixtures. And it was kind of this incredible...
We're all in this together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the cool thing is, like, that's something that's pretty unique to like the vibe of your place. It's like you really champion your team, and mm-hmm. like you've really cultivated this great group of people. And yeah, I mean, like I would have done the same for you, man.
Yeah,
you
know? There's a lot of ownership in yeah. our space, mm-hmm. And it's all a major labor of love.
And most of the people there have been there since day one.
And which
a lot of yeah. people.
Which is when? How old is NICAP at this
we
point?
We are about 4.5 years old.
Yeah. Have you been there from the beginning?
I joined maybe like 9 months mm-hmm. in. Yeah, so I've been there a while. But yeah, this is... So now we've been in the new space for coming up on 2 years.
Wow, time flies. Yeah, well, this past year for me has been a blur, but actually, this past year, today, Dave, today, I was hit by a car.
Oh my God. What?
I remember that. That was so awful.
Yeah, April 25th.
Yikes.
Broke your cameras.
Look how good you
I
look.
Know.
You're doing great.
Look
I
at
gained
you now.
60 pounds. What do you mean? Look how there's more of me to see, that's for sure.
I can't believe it's been a year, man.
Today.
Wow. Well,
let's cheers.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Let's open the
I'm already into mine.
It's good stuff, right? Clear Creek.
Clear Creek Pear yum, Brandy. Yum, so, yum. Already 2 years at the new spot. That's crazy. And yeah, I do remember it being a hurried exit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of the real details, but mm-hmm. I know that it wasn't pleasant, which is a sad but true fact that that shit happens here. It happens everywhere, I'm sure, but mm-hmm. we hear about it a lot more in New York, I think.
Definitely makes you stronger.
Yeah, right? It's a really glorious outcome
yeah.
from a really rough
few months.
Yeah.
And how do you
bled into months?
How you feeling in the new space?
You know, we've had growing pains. I think when we first moved, we had this very, you know, we had a bar that was custom designed for us by Alex at NICAP, and we sort of moved into this bar that was meant to be a dive bar mm-hmm. essentially, and we yeah. have this sort of very extensive program, and so we've had to kind of tweak and learn to live in harmony with the space that we have. And I think we're finally, I think it took us a little while to let go of some of the things that we felt like were so dear to us.
Yeah, in the program.
But I think we have found our groove.
Yeah, and through acquiring the 151 space, we also acquired a lot of their regulars and
sure.
their clientele. And, you know, we wanted to meet them in the middle with that. There was a lot of loss. A lot of people were really sad to see it go. And, we worked really hard to prove mm-hmm. to them that we wanted to be their local spot as well, and, mm-hmm. and that
right.
they could relax. You know, we have this extensive program and a ton of crazy spirits behind us, but also like really chill vibes and
vibes.
Yeah,
vibes.
We're all about vibes.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
But also, though, it seems like you took your own client base that you'd already built, and you're almost two years at the original space, you're only two blocks away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they couldn't find you. Right?
Totally.
It's like, oh, we came to the place and you're not here anymore. You walk two more blocks, you're here. It's no big deal. But then you also picked up some new folks
yeah.
from the new space.
Yeah.
So kind of like maybe snowballed a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to say, all in all, as dramatic and stressful and bad, you know, things like that are never have good timing. But I think the fact that I was also pregnant and had to, you know, Lauren had to step up in a way that, I mean... God save her. She she really
right rallied the troops and,
yeah.
and kept things in motion while you were
yeah.
But you were
probably
still,
slowed down. But you stayed at it
there.
Right up to the end. Right, right up until
oh, yeah.
Elliot was like, "I'm here."
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was placing like orders.
And then as soon as he was born, we were putting him in a bus bin, padded bus bin on the bar.
There
top,
are some adorable like, photos yeah. I recall on your Instagram of Elliot being in a swaddled like in a hotel pan or
yeah.
a bus
mm-hmm.
tub.
Very good.
That's good.
Very good.
How do you? We don't get a lot of parents on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few coming up.
Yeah,
but
that's something we should definitely talk.
We
know a lot of people who
yeah.
are parents.
Well, we've got some coming up, but you know, we're gonna get Sotak on the show, and
I think mm-hmm. that's.
But oh, honestly, he's had to cancel the show many times because of babysitter
mm-hmm.
issues.
Yeah.
yeah.
So how is balancing the life of like a well known New York City cocktail bar?
She's
no,
not
we want to hear those. No, we want to hear those. That's great.
Her water broke.
with family life, and not just family life, but like a baby.
Well, I think the first thing that is very important to address is that there is absolutely no balance. I mean, life is completely chaotic and crazy, and I don't know if you know, but we just actually moved upstate
right.
because
yeah,
we
want to talk about that too.
Yeah, we wanted more space, and we wanted Elliot to grow up with a yard, and you know, your priorities could just completely shift. But I think within, you know, you just, having a child was something that I've always wanted, and part of the ambition of opening my own bar was so that I could support having my own family in the sort of, you know, I guess, quote unquote, untraditional setting. This is not a, you know, typical American family growing, you know.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we should mention that your partner is...
is also in the bar industry, Jeremy.
He's your partner in business. He's your partner in life. He's, like, that creates... that's not traditional either.
No.
Neither one of you holds a traditional space.
No.
So then how do you, like, how do you, you just said there is no balance.
Yeah,
you just do it?
Kind of, yeah. No, you don't, we didn't have a plan. And I think moving upstate was also like, we had no idea if it was going to work, and we're still figuring it out. We've only been there for a few months, and, you know, it requires commuting down here and being away from Elliot for a few days at a time.
Yeah, do you come down and stay? When I see your post on Instagram, it feels like you stay. So you stay.
I stay.
Where do you stay? Do you have a second place?
I still have my apartment here.
Wow. Incredible.
So it's, you know, it's you kind of feel very torn on days that I feel like I'm doing a really good job at work. I feel like I'm failing as a mother. And on days that I feel like I'm being the greatest mom ever, I know I'm letting the bar down. So it's this kind of like internal struggle all the time. You're always behind. I have my lists of work never get shorter. They get longer and longer. You work at odd hours. I do a lot, you know, during nap time or after he goes to bed. And, you know, he's also at that age. He's a toddler. So he's just like,
go.
Yeah.
Curious.
He needs my attention all the time. And there's no like, oh, let me work while Elliot plays next
to
me.
You entertain yourself. It's not happening.
You know, I was just thinking, like, this kid's going to grow up in a house with, like, two, like, the best bartenders I know. And it's going to be, like, grow up, like, I don't like alcohol.
Mm. Yeah, like, absolutely. Totally.
Totally against it.
Yeah, he's just going to be, like, teetotal.
Or he's going to have a great relationship.
Yeah, that's what that's hope. True. I hope so.
And
more sort of probably a little bit more leaning towards the European relationship with alcohol. Yeah. Yeah. It's been around.
Exactly.
It's always around. There's no race to the finish, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like in America we get told we can't have it until we're 21, which means that we're sneaking it. And then by the time we can have it, we can just go nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Europeans are more like, oh, it's around, whatever. It's
and that's how I grew up. Life. And like, I feel like that's really created a healthy relationship for me with alcohol. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Germany and Italy, that's and then moved here to the States when I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Straight to New York?
Seattle, and then New York when I came to New York for college. So I've been here for a long time. Yeah.
Rad.
Been in the States longer than I was in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lauren, where are you from?
I'm from the Finger Lakes, upstate New York.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Moved here when I was 17 for college. And it's been a long time as well.
Not that long. Well, cool. We're right at the halfway mark. We should take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We're going to enjoy some of our bamboo and our chilled miniature bottles of brandy.
And thanks again for bringing it. It's
so adorable.
Cool.
My pleasure.
And then we'll come back and keep talking with the team from Nightcap, Natasha David and Lauren Corvo.
Like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We have our friends Natasha David and Lauren Corvo from Nightcap in Lower East Side of New York City. We've been chatting about the bar and some of the kind of like struggles getting started, struggles with becoming a new mother with a hot cocktail bar and balancing life. But there's also been, and I don't want to like harp on it, like all the negative things, but I think it's really important for like a lot of our listeners who aspire to like go to open their own bars, restaurants, you know, distilleries, brewery, whatever it is, you know, it's not, it's, there's no like manual for opening a business. It, bad shit always happens. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be like, it just means you have to be a stronger person, a smarter person, learn from every step of the way.
Maybe,
you
know, resilient.
Like, resilient. Yeah, exactly. So you recently, just a couple of months ago, a few months ago, had some other issues. What the hell happened?
Our new building.
We call it the Boiler Room Fiasco of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Fondly.
So you alluded to the heat.
Yeah, the heat was always hot in 151.
Mm-hmm. Well, we found out why.
Why? Firsthand. We'll say this. The it reached a point where the bar was 160.
Highest was 189.
189.
Yeah.
189 degrees.
Yeah. In the bar itself.
In the bar itself. Yeah. There
tiki was drinks everywhere.
Coming through the floor.
How is that possible?
The walls bubbling.
Like,
your paint bubbled. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Our bar top, like the finish on it, like crumbled up from the heat.
Melted. Yeah.
Wait, how the hell did you...
We were closed.
Yeah,
but like...
We had to close, yeah.
That's hotter than...
That's cooking temperature, man.
Cooking temperature.
We considered charging for it and having a spa and selling cucumber water.
That's what I'm saying. Tiki drinks, man. Yeah, man. Pebble ice.
Oh, man.
Melted pebble ice.
Yeah. Pebble water.
Yeah.
Formerly pebble ice. Now it's water. Now it's hot water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we had to bring in some people to rip up the floors and the walls and figure out what was going on. And we learned that the boiler system for the entire building, which was beneath us in our sub-basement, had completely corroded. All of the pipes looked like Swiss cheese. It was pretty tragic. And so that was a process to fix it, but the real damage actually happened when they had opened the floors. All of that steam escaped and actually damaged most of the bar. So we lost, I think it was 30 different bottles of booze just from the corks popping and, you know, the cement dust going everywhere. Our upholstery melted. We lost a bunch of photographs that were like our past
staff. It was crazy, yeah. It was like out of a movie. Like you just didn't think this was possible.
Wow. And
by the way, this was within the first week that I moved upstairs.
So Natasha just moved. I had just taken over, and it was nuts. So it ended up we had to close, and it was really upsetting for obviously our staff, but the community really came together and pushed a lot of awesome events our way that we got to, you know, provide for our staff in that way. And I got to have Natasha come down. We decided to refinish the bar top ourselves. So we borrowed Jeremy's hand sander.
We're like,
should we YouTube this? And we're like, let's just go with our gut. I'm like, I've watched enough episodes of This Old House that, like, I think we can figure this out. So we refinished the bar top ourselves one night.
It doesn't have to be the right way. It's got to be your way.
It's still good. That's right. It's actually better than it ever was. So we are really proud of ourselves. Great. And, and, you know, we opened back up. We had an awesome party, and so many people came out to support us and the staff. And the room was filled with so much love. It was a fantastic reminder of, like, just why we do what we do and the joy that our little bar has brought to, like, you know, our staff and our community and our... You and I, when we're
it's
going
good
through
to
all
be
these
reminded
difficult things.
Of those things.
Yeah.
Right. And what? How much of the burden of the expense of this is on you as the business or as the building?
We're
still dealing with it.
That's still being
tough,
dealt with.
It's been really hard. But we're getting ready to launch a new menu. We've got a bunch of parties planned. Like, we're back in action.
Yeah.
The bar's been busier than ever. And It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of parties, you guys are always, you've always been known for your disco parties.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Yeah. This, so last Sunday of every month we do a disco party, and this month, which is this week.
This week, this Sunday.
We are really just, we are going for it.
We're going to do karaoke.
We have a karaoke machine coming in.
We've got a bunch of lasers
disco
and
karaoke,
lights.
Like lasers. 70s music karaoke?
It's probably going to be a little bit of, it's going to be dramatic.
Yeah.
We're going to have some love ballads for sure. Hope to encourage a lot of duets. Mm-hmm. There'll probably be some like good like 90s throwbacks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just going to rock
just roll with it. Yeah.
What, so talk about Disco Sunday in general. So you put together a special menu.
Sparkles. Lots of sparkles.
Yeah, we always
There's
work.
A disco ball at nightcap.
I mean, it literally
anyway.
Started very yeah. innocently and in that I was like, I want a disco ball at my bar. Yeah. And we were like, okay. And then I was like, I guess I should turn it on more often. So let's have a party. And it's kind of turned into this great monthly party. Yeah. And
we team up with a brand, do a special $10 cocktail menu, 8 to 2 a.m. and rock out. So we've started doing like themes
disco
to every
out.
Party, which has been a lot of fun. Last month we teamed up with Italicus and we did a little fundraiser for foster kittens, and raised a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
It was awesome.
If the internet has taught me anything, it's that people love kittens.
Cats. Natasha and I love cats. It's mm-hmm, a thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've been a lot of fun. We look forward to it every month, and that's been just sort of like a time to let our hair down.
Yeah, I think for Lauren and me also, like, we love the creative side of everything. Mm-hmm. So it's our kind of way of, it's our little escape from the like daily grind of running a bar. So we get a lot of joy out of it. So, yeah. And I think since Lauren has become head bartender, like, she's really been able to focus on that stuff so much more. I feel like when I was doing it, I was alone and didn't have very much support and kind of like tried to haphazardly throw these things together. And now Lauren's there and she just like is in full control and handles them and yeah. does such a great job.
No one person can do it alone. It's
no,
you always have
no.
to have like at least some sort of like wing person, like some
yeah.
support, you know, and you know, especially like when you open a bar or a restaurant and then you're also working at it, you're trying to be an owner, a manager, mm-hmm. bartender, bouncer, mm-hmm. you're like doing everything.
And then mm-hmm. have a family on top of it.
And then
it.
Have
I
a
mean,
family on top of it.
Yeah,
it's like,
we've...
You have to lean on your staff. You,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, not just... I mean, having a boyfriend or, you know, mm-hmm. have, trying to have
life.
Maintain any kind of relationship
yeah.
is...
Sure.
Is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A struggle.
It's definitely like, you know, it the whole, like, it takes a village thing mm-hmm. that has been... A common theme for our bar for bringing Elliot into this world, and you know, it's been really awesome. Natasha and I have developed this incredible partnership where we just really trust each other and work so well together. And the moments where we do disagree, it's like a really productive, challenging space, and it's been wonderful. I mean, the bar has really been through a lot and is really better than ever.
What made you decide, like, that's a big change of life and to hand the reins over? And how long ago was it? How long have you been the head bartender now?
She's been the head bartender for 3 years.
Holy
but
crap.
She's been like more like she's really kind of taken the reins since February.
Yeah.
January,
yeah.
February.
And that's about the time yeah. you moved upstate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
that's a huge, like,
and I honestly, not to, I don't want to put all my pressure of my life onto Lauren, but like, I don't think I could have done the move if Lauren weren't there. Like, she just understands the bar so well, and has such a beautiful relationship with what I wanted to be.
I was going to say disco, but yeah. Same thing.
With disco and miniature things,
small things
and glitter.
Things.
yeah, I you know, I don't think it would have been possible without her.
It really
right,
feels
like
destiny.
As a person who feels very I try to act like I don't care as much as I care because I feel like I'm trying to put on an air.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to control every little piece
of
it.
Yeah, and that's, it's so hard. It's yeah. so hard. It is so hard to let go and not be in charge of every single little thing and every decision and but again, I think, you know, this very sort of strange thing happens to you that when you have a child that everyone talks about, But this complete shift in your mindset and in your body and in how you sort of like are in the world just happens.
Sure.
And your own kind of like ego and needing to be in control of every single moment, you just kind of learn, because life becomes such a shit show.
Yeah.
That like that is just not possible anymore. Mm. And like letting go and having other people help you is so important. And for me was a huge life lesson, something that I was never able to do before. And I think, you know, sort of to the detriment probably of the business, because I like wanted to do everything. I couldn't not be involved in every aspect.
Well, you also didn't realize that that was so important, you know? I mean, like,
sure.
I was thinking about this just this weekend. I was like, all right, so if I could like put a chart together of like every possibility of like every, like from every direction, like who's in charge of how much percentage of my business, like, you know, that being said, like customers, I mean, like customers will tell you, like that your customers ultimately, they have a lot of say. Mm-hmm. The fucking Department of Health, the fire department, you know, like the buildings department, like all these things. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like, oh man, like I'm probably like
by far the minority partner.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
The public owns more than you.
And that
and
actually
like
made me feel
not there.
And yeah, I mean like but then again I'm like, all right, well, you know, when I wrote my first menu at Grand Army when we opened, I was alone. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't have my staff in there for tastings and everything. You know, there's some definitely, like in hindsight, you know, there's some things that I wish I hadn't done or would have done differently.
Sure. If you had that input.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there
yet.
It was
like go time when the staff came on and we opened. But now I definitely like my staff, they have as much say on like the menu and the run of show as I do, pretty much. I mean, like, I can be like, all right,
I think it's
that water's empty, but you know, like,
I think it's curious that you mentioned the public too. You know, I've always said, you know, I plan my work, I work my plan, but I remain flexible. Whatever it is that I open after planning my work, the people are going to come in and tell me what it is.
And that word flexible, I think, is so important for this industry in general, and in that we kind of have this advantage of being these very sort of flexible, ever-changing, constantly like evolving things. And we're also such an incredible community. Mm. And, you know, we sit here and we're sort of sound like we're just down and talking about all the drama of the bar. But like the thing that was so incredible about it all, and that was so incredible when I had a baby, and, you know, is the community coming and just being so supportive and lending a hand. And people always want to, you know, there's always somebody there to do, you know, to give you a little, you know, lift and help you out in some way.
Yeah. Bars have really become this, like, you know, it's the third space. It's this space that's not work, space. It's not home. It's this third space of community and togetherness. And, like, once you do get a staff in, you know, they really impact everything. Mm-hmm. We're always learning with our staff and, you know, like, super happy to hear anyone's thoughts and opinions about things, because, you know, they do see a lot when you're not there, and
well, they see a lot when you're not there. They also see things that you don't see in their life.
Absolutely.
Right? You're not joined to them by the hip every day. Right. So they're doing other things than you're doing, and you bring those things back together, and
staff is expendable idea.
Absolutely.
Which I, you know, when I first started and working in nightclubs, like, that was definitely, like, you just were so afraid you were going to lose your job, so you just, like, went along with everything and did everything that your boss told you to do. It's just not how we operate at all. And I think having your staff's input is just...
Yeah, well, I think I equate that to restaurants. I always think I bring things back to restaurants because I was a chef for so long. And what you're talking about there is, like, yeah, fast food restaurants burn through employees. Anything that's like seated and has a server and like has an air of anything nicer than that, they try and hold on to their employees. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, right? The club is just like, it doesn't matter who's behind the bar as long as the vodka sodas are moving.
Yeah.
Whereas like your bar needs some expertise and some care and some ability to interact with a guest in a way that's meaningful beyond what's in the glass or in the atmosphere.
Absolutely. And a sense of ownership.
Absolutely.
And I hope that, you know, we're always trying to find ways to...
Well, I know what translates. I hear a lot about your bar because Blake, who works for you guys, works at My Bar, and yes. Blake Walker, yeah, he speaks so highly of everything you guys do over there, and
he's just the best.
And he is staunchly protective, and I give him...
But that's the thing that's so incredible. You know, I always say this about Blake, but he's like that just with his guests and with his
absolutely.
Coworkers. Like,
and he's also with stands with behind the bar.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's evolved into like such a beautiful bartender. Mm-hmm. You know, like
right, and you know what's also great about him? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and what's also great about him is we didn't turn this into the Blake Walker show, but
Blake Walker show.
He's got a lot of things about him that have nothing to do with what we do, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. makes him a more sort of whole and genuine yeah. person.
Mm-hmm.
He's in
really
a band.
Cool
he's got a recording studio.
A bar,
like
yeah.
he travels around. Mm-hmm. Like good, solid fellow. What do you got a book out? What are you doing over there?
I don't know. I was just looking at some.
You're gonna bring it up on the air?
You mentioned the third place.
Yeah.
And I was just reading about
this. You gonna read an excerpt from a book from us?
Yeah, yeah. Man. Well, this is
read us a story, Grandpa.
Tell us about the good old days.
What's the book?
This is John Thibault's book that's just coming out. It's called Bars, Taverns, and Dives, New Yorkers Love, Where to Go, What to Drink.
Wait. What's the one on the cover?
That's the Brooklyn Inn.
That's the one I have on my wall. I bought that painting from him.
You did? Oh, I should mention, actually... his book's coming out right now. You should definitely check it out. It's on Rizzoli Publishing, but he does have extra prints for sale. So if you go...
Oh, yeah, mine's not the original. It's a print, but it's gorgeous, and I love it. It's hanging on my wall in my living room.
So, like, there's a... When you were talking about the third place, there's a... The foreword is by Syndrome Frizzell of Fort Defiance, and then John Thibault talks... They both drop the... they both say... There's a book called A Great Good Place by Ray Oldenburg, and he defines these establishments between work and home mm-hmm. as the third places. And like, I don't know, if you read into that book, I've read some other excerpts from that, and it's pretty cool. Like, and it's a very, very important place, you know?
I think so too. Yeah. In fact, there was a time where we were drawing up a business plan. We were going to call our place third place.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
We were going to play the other angle though and be like the gold medal, the silver medal, and the bronze medal, we were going to be third place. But the double entendre was third place, right? We're the third place.
Call it third base.
Hey,
we got to go to third base.
Well, hopefully people go to third base at your bar.
Yeah.
They're having such a good time.
Bazing. Certainly happens at a nightclub.
And then, and then there are babies.
How do you think Elliot came to be, guys?
So let's talk about... Let's talk about being a female owner of a cocktail bar in anywhere, but in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, not being one, I don't know how to speak to that or understand it. Like, what challenges do you think you face that maybe I don't or that Damon doesn't? Or
I have long hair, dude. I get confused a lot.
You've been confused since the day I met you.
Well,
I mean, do you want to speak to that? You don't have to.
No,
I'm
absolutely.
Just curious.
No, absolutely. You know, when I first sort of started taking this more seriously, I was working, you know, Death & Co. kind of just opened. My Well was going to open soon. And I was studying with actually Lynette Marrero and Jim Kearns. They were teaching me everything. And it was hard to get taken seriously as a woman back then. And there was this stereotype that the only way you could be a cocktail bartender was... if you were a man and you had a beard and you wore suspenders. And I got turned away from places. Literally, I will not mention who, but I was told I was too...
Out him, I don't care.
I was too feminine.
I've had enough drinks today.
I was too delicate. I was too feminine. And, you know, I always very much embraced, you know, being a girl. I'm a very girly girl. I wear dresses all the time. I'm behind the bar and I put flowers in my hair. You know what I mean?
And you put flowers all over the bar. Like
I
it's
do,
a very
yeah.
When I come to your bar, I feel very like this is being hosted by a feminine space.
And that was very
which I enjoy.
And I'm so glad you say that because
like,
that
I enjoy,
was very important to me.
I enjoy just as much going to like the all mahogany, very
sure.
wooden
mm-hmm.
tobacco-y, leathery
that.
Bars.
Yeah,
as much as I enjoy going to your bar, which is like very more mm-hmm. a little bit lighter atmosphere, mm-hmm. even though somewhat subterranean. Mm-hmm. In both spaces, right? One was definitely underground, but this one's still
our next bar is going to be a glass box.
Light brick we've decided.
It was very important to me, and I have two incredible business partners who supported this idea to have a cocktail bar. that was from the female perspective, and there wasn't very much at the time. There, you know, obviously there's Julie, who, you know, is sort of the pioneer of us all, and Audrey.
Yeah, we were just hanging out with Julie right before the show.
Yeah.
I think.
But to kind of, you know, take this idea of the serious bar and kind of turn it on its head a little bit and make it more of a, you know, have a sense of humor about everything. And I didn't want to take myself too seriously.
Yeah.
And at the same time, something that was really important to me, and we've kind of talked about the importance of staff, is I wanted to create a place where, you know, as a woman who's worked in this industry for so long and who's had some of the, you know, some horrible things happen during service, whether it was from a guest or from a coworker or from a boss. And I wanted to really create a space where my employees, not just female, also male, felt comfortable to say, no, this is not okay. You can't treat me this way. And felt safe and could come to me and talk to me when something felt inappropriate. That was super important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's something I still am figuring out how to navigate, because, you know, sexual harassment is such a sensitive topic in many ways. And I hope I'm, you know, handling it appropriately compassionately as I can
like
handle
bars
it.
Like ours don't have HR departments, right. You know?
No,
so you
exactly.
can handle it on your own.
Yeah.
Again, back to what you said before, like, I'm everything.
Mm-hmm.
I clean the toilets. I'm mm-hmm. the HR department.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm everything in between too.
Yeah. So that was really important, and for me, I always want to hire more women. And the thing, you know, there's nothing wrong with white males, but
there's a whole
I
bunch
mean,
of
literally,
us.
When I'm not exaggerating when I say that 98% of the resumes that I get are white men.
Yeah.
And I'm always, you know, I was just at the Bacardi Summit.
Uh-huh.
I was on a panel there, and I remember looking into the audience and just seeing this incredibly diverse group of women of, you know, every sexuality, every race, and there were men there too. And it was so wonderful. And I remember sitting there thinking, where are all of you? Like, why aren't you not submitting your resumes to me?
Exactly.
Like, where are you? Like, I guess my advice to women who want to move up in the cocktail world or start working in the cocktail world, like, find bars or businesses or whatever
people
that you identify with and that you want to work for, and like, say hi, pursue
yeah.
them. Like, I just don't know where you
appeal
are.
Appeal to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly sort of like what happened to me. I was... my intro to the cocktail industry was part-time, and I found out who Natasha was and was incredibly inspired by, like, this image of what that could look like for me as a female, because my past experience had been mistreated by men as my managers and guests and so on. And was introduced to Natasha and felt like, this is where I could actually, you know, embrace my true love of hospitality in like in a warm environment, because that's really what Natasha promotes. If I could speak to anything about like being a woman and managing a space, owning a bar, I think that the number one thing that I've learned from Natasha is compassion. And that's not for women only, you know, but that's definitely, she leads with her heart in all decisions and, you know, dealing with staff, and it has really created this really super warm environment.
Are you tearing up?
Sorry,
I'm not tearing up over here.
It's super real.
There's dust in the air. Something in my eyes.
Yeah.
Come on, we can't cry.
Damon,
boys cry. It's
Damon,
okay, Damon.
Yeah, Damon.
Tearing up
here.
In my eyes.
That's why I do radio, not TV.
Dave's tearing up. He's out in the studio.
You know, our guests feel it. Our employees feel it. We create this really loving environment that allows I'm gonna stop, but you know, it's just positive. We build people up, and I think it is an innate feminine quality, not to polarize it, but
no, absolutely. I agree with you there.
I don't know. It's tough to speak to. A lot of times we have this conversation where we're like, we don't want to talk about being women. But there are some clear differences.
Well, I brought it up late in the show because I didn't want to focus on it.
Yeah,
but like, I do
totally.
Want to, I do want to hear about it. You know, like,
yeah.
How did you...
It's hard. We get a lot of, like, you know, me as a manager, I've been when I've been direct with someone, I, you know, someone has called me the B word, which it's like, if that same, that same conversation.
You can swear on the show, by the way. You can say bitch. Yeah.
I don't want to swear.
you do you.
Maybe my mom's listening.
Damon's mom's listening.
Hi, Damon's mom. We love you.
She listens to every show.
Oh, yeah, but you know, it's like I've had moments where I'm like, if that same conversation came from a man, you'd be like, yes, chef, yes, sir, got it. You know, you'd put your tail between your legs. But because we do lead with compassion, when it does become a, you know, serious direct conversation, sometimes people don't take
it
as seriously.
Too, you know, absolutely. Interactions with a drunk customer.
Yeah,
sure. And they're like, let me speak to your manager. Yeah, and you're like, I'm the fucking boss.
Yeah.
I own this place, bitch.
I always do like a deep spin. I am the manager. And turn around. Hey.
Here I am.
Yeah.
I have a the ice mallet. I pull out my ice mallet and I go, this is the manager. Do you really want to talk to him? Or do you want to deal with me? I'm a little less strict. But so how did you, not to get, you know, away from that, the compassion and all of the things that are maybe, as you said, sort of innately feminine, mm-hmm. And a wish maybe they were more masculine as well. But like, how did you, what was the, and we're running out of time, but what was the step where you were like, I'm working at a lot of bars, and now I'm going to team up with Alex Day and Dave Kaplan and open this bar. What was that little transition?
Well, it was really tough for her. I can tell you, because she was working with me at Prime Meats, and it, you know, it was the best job she's probably ever had.
It was. They had good bait.
I did not know that. I didn't know you were at Prime Meats. Has everybody that's been on this show come through Prime Meats?
I was there for like 2 years.
Yeah, it was. So
I remember you were at Maison for a long time. You were at Donna for quite a while. Mm-hmm. When were you at Prime Meats?
Was I
there at the
Maison
time?
Maison and Donna at the same time.
You might have been. You worked there too.
I can't even remember. Yeah, maybe we worked for shift together. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was upstairs in the...
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Were you there then?
That room, yes.
Oh, then weird.
You guys.
No, at one point, circle. It was... Speaking of like fucking badass female bartenders...
It was Katie.
Katie Stipe, Cabell.
Oh.
You, Karen Fu.
Karen, yeah. We were all there at the same time.
I only worked a few shifts behind the main bar. Otherwise, I was up in the weird bar. But I would work with Karen Fu.
Does the main bar still exist? I mean, the funny bar?
No.
My old office? No, we don't talk about that.
She would whip the shit out of me with her... She had her ponytail.
With her ponytail.
She would just... I would be... either on the service well or on the point well, and wherever she was, she would just be whipping around on that fire. I'd be like, damn it, I'm trying to make a drink over here. anyway, but so so you were at Prime Meats, and then, so what made that jump for you? Like, if you can speak to it in, you know, short order.
Luck? I don't know.
I honestly don't.
Dave and Alex and I sort of were acquaintances for a while, and then they opened, or helped open a bar called Demi Moore.
Demi Monde.
Demi Monde.
Oh, let's not forget Demi Monde. Kyan Dowerman.
And I was a bartender there, and I...
Scott T, wasn't he there too?
Yeah, he was the head bartender.
Yeah.
And I think we just kind of jived.
I forgot about that place.
Yeah.
Sank like a stone when Sandy sank it.
Let's forget. Let's not even...
Okay, we don't talk
about that. Yeah, let's not talk about that place.
See, that's where you got... Okay, that's the missing link here. I forgot about that.
But that's the thing. See, horrible things... Yes. Can lead to wonderful
things.
Yeah. Got to go through the darkness to see the light.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a question for Alex. I have no idea why they want. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. All I know is that I went and had coffee with Alex, and
you were brave enough and strong enough to say yes. Take on another project.
Does that take? I mean, that it just seems like a non.
You say yes.
Like, you don't say no. You say yes. There wasn't quite a question
in
my
mind. Everything.
Right.
Yeah.
It's being called to court by the king. I guess you say yes. You show up.
And then it turned into we now are incredible friends and attend each other's weddings, and it turned into this really lovely working relationship.
That's great, man.
We are pushing time. I know Dave has to get out of the booth, but and it's
he's
been
like
a long show.
He's like, what do you think?
Let's keep going.
He's got so
don't blame this on me.
I have to have a scapegoat. but let's talk about a few things business wise. So plug away. What's your website? What's your Instagram?
Oh, you have your next disco party is coming
disco
up.
Disco party
on.
Is this
on
Sunday.
This Sunday.
So much fun. Website is nightcapnyc.com. Our Instagram is nightcapnyc,
N-I-T-E.
N-I-T-E-C-A-P. We are at 151 Rivington. We open every day at 6. We have aperitif hour from 6 to 8. We love to drink low ABV. We like
spritzes and disco and glitter.
Perfect.
Spritzes and disco and glitter.
I'm certainly happy to have you on the show today. This has been fucking great because, like, I haven't had a chance to actually hang out with either of you in quite some time. So this has been.
He tried to cut us off.
No,
that was the music.
Oh, really? I thought it was like the Oscars.
Yeah, some disco for you. You're welcome.
We don't have anything like that.
But yeah, I we've known each other for a very long time, and I love you to death. And I'm so happy for you, like for everything you guys. You guys have going.
Everyone's doing great. And
Jeremy, I wish he could have been here today too.
I thought about asking him. I was like, you know what? Let's have the ladies on.
Well, yeah, of course. But I mean, I didn't want him to talk. He's been on the show before. Yeah, he can sit at a table for two and just like stare.
Post a picture on Instagram.
And Lori, it's great having you on the show as well. It's so nice to see you.
Thank you.
And thanks for bringing all the delicious drinks.
Yeah, so tasty.
Just really killing it. I mean,
let's go to Disco Sunday. You free Sunday?
Yeah, man.
Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm done with the book, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can actually start hanging out now.
I have some freedom.
So we'll see you there. Yeah. And everyone else out there who's listening to the show, come meet us at Nightcap on Sunday night, and let's get freaking weird. Let's sing some songs together.
Let's get discoed.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So upcoming shows include but aren't limited to Eric Metzger. Photograph.
Ooh, he's our photographer.
He does everything for us.
He's our photographer.
Did my book.
Eric, the best.
We love him.
Did my book.
Cutest dog.
Also took a photo. Yep, really cute dog.
Here's my shameless plug really quickly.
No,
Eric Metzger just took a photo of me. That's in the May-June issue of Playboy. I was very, very insulted that they did not ask me to at least show like side boob or something. But
Metzger.
Yeah.
Risque.
Amazing.
He does so much photography in New York that it's I had no idea about. Yeah. He also took the, you know, I'm in the current issue of Invibe magazine. There's a photo of me that he took.
He's like the Questlove of photographers.
Ooh. Right? He's just roaming around doing his thing.
Like, he must be cloning himself.
Anne Louise Marquis, very.
Is this the best show ever? Oh,
Anne Louise Marquis coming up.
All
she's
the
she's the Campari. She's the Campari
goddess.
What do you call her? Yeah, she's
mean,
the best.
Just like leading our community in all of the most positive ways. An actual angel on earth.
She's also a Quest Lovey.
I just spoke to Julie Reiner today. She's willing to be on the show coming up soon as well. Lauren Myerskoff from New Orleans is going to be on the show. So we got some cool shows coming up.
Yeah, sounds great, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We got a nice little spring coming up.
We do.
And we had like so much sunshine in the studio today.
Amazing.
Getting us started. It's great, man.
Thanks for having us.
I love doing this show. Love having you guys on. Well, that's all I've got. Damon, you want to wrap us up and take us out?
Yeah, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out heritageradionetwork.org for many other programs like this one. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station and keep us on the air. Until next week, cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the air.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaili, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.